Now, the first of these, that is to say, the whole process of development from what man was to what he is now, this constitutes what we call the lower evolution. And the second, from what man now is to what he can be, this constitutes what we call the higher evolution. Now, the lower evolution is dealt with by science, especially the science of biology, by anthropology and so on, and the higher evolution, the process of the higher evolution, is covered by the religions of the world, and especially by Buddhism. Now, all this may sound as though it's becoming rather complicated, rather difficult to follow, so let us start thinking now diagrammatically. Let's start thinking in terms of a picture. I'm going to ask you to imagine a right-angled triangle, which is simple enough. And if that's difficult, we'll just look at the board, where you see a right-angled triangle. And this is our simple chart. This is going to make it all very simple and easy and obvious. I'm afraid the chart itself is a bit of a do-it-yourself job. Perhaps later on one of our artist friends will really get down to it and produce something really splendid. So let's just look at this right-angled triangle. We'll see there are various points marked along the hypotenuse, which are numbered, and various segments of the hypotenuse, which have letters affixed to them. Now, point two, halfway up the hypotenuse, represents our aware human being, our intelligent, sensitive, responsible human being. That's point two. Now, the section of the hypotenuse, 0 to 2, this represents the whole process of the lower evolution. And then 2, up to that symbol, as some of you will probably recognize, of infinity, the 8 standing on its side, as it were, 2 to infinity represents the whole process of the higher evolution. So these are the two main divisions, the two main sections. The lower evolution, 0 to 2, the higher evolution, 2 up to infinity. Now each of these two sections can be divided again in turn. So in the middle of the lower section, right in the middle, or it should be right in the middle, you find point 1. This is the point at which consciousness emerges, the point at which the animal becomes human. Of course, animals do have a sort of rudimentary consciousness, but here we are thinking in terms of consciousness in its specifically human form, especially self-consciousness. So this is the point at which consciousness, human consciousness, emerges, halfway through the process of the lower evolution. And then we've got point 3. Point 3 represents the point at which transcendental consciousness or awareness emerges in comparative fullness. In a rudimentary form, in the form of just flashes of insight, it can emerge even before that. But point 3 really and truly emerges in a decisive manner. So point 3 represents the point of what the Hinayana calls stream entry, or what the Mahayana calls the stage of irreversibility from which you cannot fall back. So point 3 is the point of non-return. Non-return, of course, in the sense of modern rocketry, not in the sense of ancient Buddhism. The point which, having reached, you can't fall back. You can only go on. You must only go on. We'll go into that a little later on. So we now have three points. Point 1, point 2, and point 3, which divides the hypotenuse of our triangle into four sections. Now, if we include the points made by the two angles, down there and up there, we have 5 points altogether. So point 0 represents the starting point of the whole evolutionary process. For physics, this is the subatomic unit. For biology, it's the amoeba. And point 1, of course, as I said, represents the point where consciousness, human consciousness, emerges. Point 2, the point at which self-consciousness or self-awareness emerges. And we may say that most of us come just a bit below point two. And point three, the point at which transcendental awareness emerges, or awareness of reality, this is the point of conversion in the true sense, and infinity, that point represents the point of nirvana, full enlightenment or Buddhahood. So these are our five points strung out along this hypotenuse of the right angle triangle. But you see there are also four letters against the four sections into which these five points divide the whole line. So section or segment A represents the infrahuman, the evolutionary process below the human being. In other words, it represents the mineral, the vegetable and the animal kingdoms. They come in section A. And then in section B, there's the human, the human world, both primitive and civilized. Section C is what we may call the ultra-human, where the human as we know it is carried to the highest possible pitch of perfection, but D represents the suprahuman, or the transhuman, that which goes far beyond any form of humanity that we can conceive, even perfected humanity. So in this way we see, with the help of this chart, that the whole process of evolution is covered. From the amoeba down there, through man, unenlightened man, up to Buddha, or enlightened man. So we see, in this way, that science and religion, the lower evolution and the higher evolution, are embraced in a single, vast, all-comprehending sweep. And this surely, when we contemplate it, is a very inspiring prospect. And it enables us to understand ourselves better than ever before. It helps to make sense, we may say, of human existence. We can begin to see just where we are, just where we stand. We can see that we occupy this middle point in the evolutionary process. This is where we are. This is how far we've come. But we can see with equal clarity that we still have a very long way to go. A very long way indeed. But though we may have a long way to go, at least we can advance joyfully, because we can see now exactly where we are, where we have to go, along what line, in what manner, and so on. There's no need for doubt, no need for bewilderment, no need for confusion. Usually, of course, this is our state. We can compare it to that of a man who suddenly wakes up in an inn. Just put yourselves in this predicament. Suppose one day you wake up and you find yourselves in a strange place. You find yourself in an inn. You wake up in a strange bed. You can't remember how you got there. You don't know where you are. You don't know what the place is. You realize it's something sort of temporary. People are coming and people are going. It's not your own place. You don't know on what road it is. All you know is that you've just woken up there and you don't know how you got there. So you're all bewildered and confused. And this is our usual state. We find ourselves in the midst of human existence. Well, here we are with a body, with two eyes, with a mouth, a nose, with thoughts. Here we are in the middle of England, dumped down in the middle of the 20th century. How we got here, we don't know. What caused it? What brought us here? We just don't know. We just find ourselves here. We just wake up here, and here we are. So where are we going? What is our path? What is our road? But suppose this person who wakes up at the inn meets someone who puts into his hand a map. And he looks at the map and he sees, it gives a complete picture of the country. He sees the road at the site of which the inn is situated. As he realizes that he's come from a certain place and he's going to a certain place, he's come so far, he's got to go so far. And then he knows what to do. There's a certain meaning and a certain purpose in his activities. He knows he has to pack up, he knows he has to leave that inn, follow the path, and get to his destination. So this is very much our own situation, our own position, when we see things as clearly, perhaps, as they are depicted, as they're represented in this diagram or in this chart. This is what happens to us when we place our lives within this context of evolution in general, and the higher evolution, spiritual evolution, or Buddhism in particular. We know where to go. We know where we stand. We know where we have to go, and we know the path which we have to follow.